Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, indeed. We'll help you keep it running thanks to the help we get from ASC certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Good morning, Dan. Good to see you.
Good morning. Good to be here.
And your lovely bride, Linda. I haven't seen Linda in, I can't even tell you how many years it's been.
I don't think ever down here.
And no, not
think,
in the studio.
I don't think in 25 years she's never been here.
Must have been something I said.
Yeah, no. It's the hour of the day.
Yeah, oh, maybe that's it, yeah. If you're new to the show, thanks for joining us. Dan has helped us out here in CCO for over 20 years, helping you out with your automotive questions. And the deal is, if you have issues with your car, truck, or van, and you have to bring it in to your favorite dealer, your favorite shop, at least you'll be armed with a little more information that you maybe didn't have before. So a couple of ways to talk to Dan. You can call him, 651-989-9226. We've cleared the lines. So you could use the phone number, 651-989-9226. Or certainly you can send a text like some folks have already done. That number is 81807. 81807. So what's it been like at Lloyd's Automotive there on beautiful Grand Avenue? You guys are busy. I mean, there's a cold. Well, it's not.
Yeah, it's not what it was.
Not right.
It's the you know, that first cold wave or two, which we have not had for years.
Right.
I mean,
you're right.
This was an epic year for batteries and cold weather related stuff. But the cold weather that we've had, you know, you get a couple blasts of it, and after that, the cars are all fixed.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other thing that makes us busy is the first snow emergency, because in St. Paul, there so many people park on the streets. And so that car that's been sitting there for a month now has to move. And so it urges them on to get it in and get it fixed. And so the first snowfall, we see a bunch of the snowbirds come in.
And there was a point there in that frigid cold where if you needed a tow, you may have to wait a long time.
A day. Yeah, it'd be tomorrow. Yeah. It was in fact, you know, the towing companies weren't even answering their phones anymore.
Because it was so crazy.
Why take any more lists? Because by the time we get to you, you're not going to want it anymore.
Dan, there was a text, if you talk about a battery, and the texter says, battery is 7 years old. Is it time to replace it?
Well, I would, but if you want to be conservative, you can take it in to pretty much anywhere, and they'll be glad to test it for you, probably for free. And see what it says. There's two ways of testing it. One is electronically. They have these fancy new battery testers that you've seen the tow trucks use and so forth. And they work well. They're accurate. And you put in the amount of power the battery is supposed to have. The car tests it, and then it will. It will tell you whether it needs a battery or not. And then the other way is to actually load test the battery, to simulate cranking the car for 15 seconds. You calculate how much the starter would normally draw, which is usually around 200 amps, and then you load the battery for 15 seconds to simulate that and see how low the voltage goes. And if it stays over 10 volts for that period of time, then the battery is still good.
Still pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. 651-989-9226. Let's see. Kelly in West St. Paul is on the phone. Kelly, you're on with Dan.
Hi, Dan. I've got the answers to why fuel mileage decreases in the wintertime.
Well, I want to hear that.
Yeah.
Okay. It's three major categories. The first one is, since all the lubricants are thicker and stiffer, everything that turns, transmissions, differentials, constant velocity joints, wheel bearings, takes more power to turn those, which in turn uses more fuel. The second category is, in cold weather, engines tend to stay on enrichment longer, thus using more fuel, especially if people just let their cars warm up. It takes them longer to get out of that enrichment cycle. And incidentally, idling to warm up your car is a total waste of fuel that people forget about frequently. The third area is the fuel itself. First, I want to clarify something. All regular gasoline is 10% ethanol by law year-round. It never changes. It's always 10%. But the gasoline fraction does change. In the wintertime, they increase the vapor pressure of the gas by adding more light and volatile compounds to the gasoline in the wintertime, and that has less energy per gallon. Therefore, winter gasoline has less energy per gallon, and therefore you get less miles per gallon with winter gasoline.
Kelly, is there a third element to this?
The third thing is the fuel. The first is rolling resistance. The second is warm-up cycle enrichment, and the third is the fuel.
Wow.
He's on top
Kelly,
of it.
He
and
is.
That is very accurate and way better put than I've ever put it. He did his research and did a good job on it.
So the ethanol is not just during the winter. It's year-round.
We knew that.
You said that last week.
I thought that it went up in the wintertime, and apparently he's saying it doesn't. So I'm not sure about that, but at any rate, that's a very good description of
excellent. Of
all of that. You know, and Denny, when a customer brings in a car stalled off the tow truck and it's been sitting outside overnight when it's 20 below, it takes the whole shop to go out there and push that car in. So that rolling resistance is significant.
Real.
Yeah, that's a really big deal.
That's true. All right. Maggie is calling from St. Louis Park with a question. Hi, Maggie. What's your question?
Hi. I've got a 2005 Saturn View, just the standard version. My back passenger door does not open from either the inside or the out. Is there anything? I mean, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, that's a tricky deal. And something broke in the door latch. So somebody will have to be able to access that door latch, which means the center or the inside door panel will need to come off, which is a complicated thing to do when the door is closed because the seat's in the way and so forth. I've never not been able to do it. So there's always a way to make that happen. A worst case scenario is maybe the back seat would have to be removed. But at any rate, there's a way to get that inner panel off and get in there and get the door open. And then once you get the door open, then it can be repaired. It might require replacing the door latch or something like that. But it's doable. Yeah, if you take I don't think you want you or anyone else to try and attempt that on your own. It's probably too complicated to try and do. I would probably bring it in and have a professional do it for you.
Okay, very good. Dan, we have to take a quick break. We have textures we want to get to and more callers as well. 651-989-9226 or send a text if that's easier, and they're coming in. 81807.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Beautiful Grand Avenue. For those folks who are listeners and maybe some visitors in town who may be needing some help, where do they find Lloyd's?
We are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria on Grand Avenue in St. Paul. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-I-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give us a call. I think Nick will be there this morning.
Okay.
651-228-1316.
Very good. I want to go back to the phones, Dan, but a texter sent this in earlier today. We don't normally do body work here as far as body shop work, but is there something, texter says, I can use to bond a carbon fiber bumper? Slid into a snowbank and it broke away from on one of the support brackets.
Yeah. There's not a good way to a glue. If you're looking for a glue to glue that back on, there's probably not a good thing that will really hold and last. However, we've been very successful at being able to get those reinstalled and not the conventional way of installing it, but with tech screws and clamps and whatever. We've usually been able to get them hung back on the car and looking pretty good.
Good.
I think if you bring it into a shop and have somebody help you with that, you'll be surprised how good it can look.
Good deal. Let's go back to the phones, Dan. Clancy is calling from. Clancy, where are you calling from?
Summerfield, Florida.
I suppose you're going to tell me the temperature.
Well, it's only 55 right now, but it'll warm up in a little bit.
Oh, very good. You'll have to deal with it. Well, what can we help you with, Clancy?
I've got a 94 Lincoln Town Car that we put about 3,000 miles on it. It's our winter car. Anyway, the front end, I have a bag, airbag light code 14, front impact sensor shorted to ground. Wire is good, need sensor, no longer available. What can I do? Can I, will the other, other airbags work? And will, if not, can we take like a fuse out and turn that light off?
Probably neither of those. If the entire airbag system does not pass its self-test, it'll flag the code and turn the light on. And short of taking the dash apart and taking the bulb out, there's probably no way to bypass that. The fact that the sensor is not available, I wonder about that. I think that if you did some research and started searching around the country with clubs and forums and you know, there's some Lincoln clubs around the country, and they would have access to that, or an aftermarket one or something. I would be surprised if you can't get one of those somewhere, or even a good used one. It's the sensor out in front, out by the bumper, so that if you are in a crash, the sensor indicates that the crash happens and deploys the airbags. And but I think that if you looked around hard, you'd be able to find
do a little more detective work.
Yeah, I think so.
Good luck, Clancy. Thanks for calling from Summerfield, Florida. Chad is calling a little closer to home from Woodbury. Chad, what can we do for you?
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
And thanks for taking my call. 2016 Hyundai Tucson with a small four-cylinder. It's got a turbo, nice little engine. But I have an odd thing that might be thermostat, but I'd like to get your opinion. Started up. I'm driving it down the road. The heat indication needle will be still colder, deader than a doornail, right? If I turn my heater off and the fan off, or the heating ensemble, if I just turn it off, within 2 minutes, the engine heat is right up to where it should be, then go back to turning on and requesting heat through the normal process, comes through just fine. But until I do that, it remains, the engine display is very cold and most of the air coming out. Is that likely thermostat or something else?
That is likely thermostat. By turning on your heater, you're adding radiator to the vehicle. You know, you're increasing the cooling capacity, and if the thermostat's not closing and controlling that properly, then you're taking too much heat out of the vehicle, and it makes the engine run cold. So that's what's going on. And Denny, we're going to fix that in your car this
Tony's,
week.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but that's likely the thermostat.
All right. Very good, Chad. Thank you for the call. 651-989-9226. I know we have to break shortly, but just a reminder, Dan will be here for about another 15 minutes. So if you want to ask your question, call us or send Dan your text. Text number is 81807. Let's see. Let's grab a text before we break. Somebody was asking about an F-350, 2014 F-350. Have you ever heard of a thing called a death wobble?
A death wobble?
A death wobble.
No, don't know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
They want to know what they can do about it. First, I've heard of that myself.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what's causing the wobble, but I'd have to find out what's causing the wobble. Yeah. I'm sure that it can be fixed, but I'm not sure exactly what they're describing.
I'd like to find a shop, Texter says, to rebuild my 327 engine and my 67 Chevy wagon for $2,000. Is that doable?
I think that probably is doable.
Okay.
And I think with a little research, you would find there. You know, there's still some rebuilders around town.
Yeah.
Rebuild engines, and especially the older ones are very simple, and parts are readily available. So I think that if that's your budget, if you do a little research, I think that you will find a shop that will be able to handle that for you.
All right, very good. Hang on, Dan. We'll take a quick break. Folks on the line, stay there. When we come back briefly, we'll pick up on your phone calls and your text messages as well.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
15 degrees in the Twin Cities. We're in our last few minutes of our car care show. Denny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Dan, I want to get back to the phone calls and text messages, but we're talking about this death wobble that you and I were kind of shaking our heads.
Right.
My brother, thank you, Jack, who lives out east, said the death wobble, I just got this, is a creative term coined by Jeep owners that describes a situation when the front axle begins violently oscillating, causing the car to shake or wobble in a manner which makes the vehicle hard to control. Yeah. You've heard of that?
I have. Well, actually, we fixed it. I just didn't know that that's what they called it. But it's a good description because the when it happens, the front wheels do. It's more than a wobble. I mean, it violently it'll shake the wheel right out of your hand, and it's dangerous. And the only way to get it out of it is to actually stop the vehicle, let it settle down again, and then take off again. On a Jeep, I'm not sure about that F-350, but on a Jeep, there's a steering dampener. It actually looks like a shock absorber that's designed to take care of that. And when that steering dampener is worn out, then the death wobble will happen. And it usually the wobble usually starts by hitting a bump. And then, the only way to get out of it is to slow the vehicle down to almost a stop.
Wow.
And then it'll settle down, and then you'll be fine again.
Thanks to my brother for doing that.
Yeah.
There'll be a little something extra in
there. Does he have a Jeep? He must know that.
No,
he must know that.
He does not. But he's got, he does a little research from time to time. All right. Let's get back to the phones, Dan. We've got folks waiting. John in Coon Rapids is first up here. John, thanks for waiting. What's your question?
I have a 2002 Chevy Malibu, and I can't get the hood open. It feels like the cable when you pull it is frozen, but it was fine last week when I checked you out.
Yeah, it's sometimes tricky to get those open. If the cable has come disconnected or fallen out of its slots, sometimes they're hard to get to, but I've never not been able to get one open. There's a way to get in there and get the, you know, get the cable, or if the cable is not working properly, there's usually a way to get in there and release it. One thing that I'll suggest for you, it takes two people, is while you're pulling on the cable, a little bit more than gently, not too hard, but a little bit more than gently, you pull on the cable and have somebody go out and tap on the hood, and oftentimes that'll release. And then if that is the case, if it does release, then make sure you spray some lubricant on the hood latch, and that'll take care of your problem for you.
Very good. Thanks, John. See who's next. Tom is calling from Belgrade with a question. Tom, what's your question for Dan?
Hi, Dan. Good morning. I have an 07 Ford Taurus with a mere 257,000 miles on it, and my battery light comes on intermittently. I put a new alternator in last winter and a new battery. When I go out with a multimeter and check it, it's charging at 15.02 to about 15.09 volts. And when the light's on. Otherwise, it's about 14.5. So it's overcharging just slightly. Wondering what your idea is on that.
Well,
the regular part of the alternator, if I'm not mistaken.
It is, and I think that's probably what's wrong. And so my recommendation would be, I think you should take that alternator back and ask them to warranty it for you. And I'm sure that'll take care of the problem for you.
All right, I tell you what. Thank you, Tom. Let's go to Pat. We're getting calls from all over the place this morning. Excuse me. Pat, where are you calling from?
Pat is my wife. She called in. This is Dave from Aladdin, Wyoming.
Aladdin, Wyoming. Well, welcome. What can we do for you guys?
I have a 2007 Silverado that has an intermittent electrical problem. And I was just wondering if you could listen to that.
Yeah, tell me about it. What kind of electrical problem are you having?
Well, the door locks cycle up and down. This is when you're going down the highway. Door locks will cycle up and down about once a second. The gauges kind of jump around in sync with that. And sometimes the engine will falter. The headlights will flash and flicker. And
Yeah, it sounds like there's one of the major powers or grounds has a bad connection. And the fact that the door locks are cycling like that means that something's happening. They're losing its signal and then getting the signal back. And of course, that's why they're cycling like that. But the fact that there's so many things involved would tell me that it's one of the major connections, maybe a power or a ground, probably near the battery. That's where I would start to look. But something that's connecting all those things together, it would be a pretty significant, probably a power. But at any rate, the repair would be to get out the wiring diagram, see what's common about all that stuff, and then go look there.
Okay. Thank you, Pat. Mary Jane is calling from Minneapolis. Mary Jane, what's the issue there?
Well, good morning. I have a 2002 Buick. And the handles on that car is, you have to put your four fingers on there and you just lift it up. Mm-hmm. Well, something happened to those handles where the one for the driver's door does not open. It just goes up and it's stuck. And it goes back down and I lift it back up and it's stuck again and it doesn't open. So I don't know what causes that. So I got to go into the car the other way and open it from the inside.
Yeah, that's really inconvenient.
I know.
Yeah, that door handle's actually a plastic handle, and inside the door, that handle's broken. And so the handle will need to be replaced. It's not a complicated repair. The only trick is you have to take the inner door panel off in order to access that door handle. But we do them all the time, and it's not too bad. It's not too expensive. It doesn't take too long. But that's what will have to happen is that handle will have to be replaced.
Okay, Mary Jane, thank you for the call. Let's pick up on some text messages, Dan. Somebody wants to get a used car. I need to get a used car, texter says. How do I get started? Well, there's plenty of places you can find used cars, but I know they should probably take it into a place like Lloyd's to get it checked out. That's worth it, isn't it?
Yeah. If you look on the internet, there's places like Car Soup or actually, if you know what kind of car you're looking for, if you just put it in one of the Google searches of that particular car, there's a whole bunch of places in town that'll be happy to send you information
Absolutely.
About it. And,
yeah.
And in fact, it'll get annoying for you after a while of how connected they are to knowing that you're searching for that car. But they'll show up all over. And then my advice, just as you said, Denny, once you find what you're looking for, make sure you bring it into an independent shop, a different shop, and have it checked and be sure that it is all that you think you're buying.
And if they don't allow you to do that, that might be a red flag.
Yeah, don't buy it. Yeah.
Okay.
No, they have to allow you to do
all right.
that, for sure.
As a texter says this, is it possible that my truck starts better in cold weather when I use my remote start, or doesn't that make a difference?
It should not make a difference.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I wouldn't know unless you inadvertently are getting your foot into the pedal when you're starting it, just out of habit. But no, it should start the same either way.
Texter says this, Dan, what is it? I know you don't have the all the dollars in front of you. What does it cost to have a head gasket fixed or replaced in a Stratus?
I have no idea.
No.
I'm sorry. Yeah. It's expensive.
Okay. For starting.
Especially depending upon how much head work needs to be done once you get the head off. But at the very best case, it's expensive.
We had a caller earlier from Florida. And whose name was Clancy. And some texter said, say, can Clancy in Florida take in a few boarders?
Yeah, wouldn't that be right?
Yes. Now, another text, let's do this. A 2004 Taurus is still stalling when warmed up and freeway speed or less. Replaced the fuel pump and filter, plugs and wires, oil. Now the oil light flickers lightly at times.
Huh.
What could that mean?
Yeah, well, the stalling, I don't know about. There's way that's. I don't have enough information to do much about that. But the flickering oil light, if the engine's not idling fast enough, that'll cause the oil light to flicker. If the engine is running fine and the oil light is flickering, then what we need to do is test the oil pressure and see if it's actually low enough to cause the light to flicker. If the oil pressure is fine and your oil light is flickering, then the pressure switch will need to be replaced.
We have to let you and Linda head out into the chill morning air.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. We're actually walking over to the NFL Super Bowl breakfast this morning.
Oh, good.
Morning,
so, all right.
Yeah.
Well, there's just a little light snow falling, so it should be a nice
walk. It'll be
walk.
Pretty. Yeah.
Linda, it's good to see you again. Thanks for coming in. Dan, how do we get in touch with Lloyd's Automotive?
You can give us a call at 651-228-1316. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.com. Or .net.
.net.
Thank you.
I'm here to serve.
I looked at Julie and I got distracted. Or you can come on over. We're at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul.
And a beautiful Grand Avenue
Thank
it
you.
Is. Thanks,
yeah.
Dan.
You bet.
I will see you next week.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time, or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.